Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw Podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
You're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
Welcome to the Screw Podcast. You're listening to Felicia Rose and A-Love, Fuck Your Ear Holes. Hey.
Ooh, fuck your ear holes. Damn.
Did you like that? I got really close to the microphone.
Have you ever gotten a dick in your ear?
No. Thank fucking God.
Nobody's...
That sounds like an ear infection.
That sounds like an ear
infection. Or like a yeast infection of the ear canal.
Or at least some hearing problems.
That too. Yeah. Like, I don't even want my ears underwater in a pool. I don't think I want cum in my ear.
No, I don't think I want any cum in my ear either. Or my eye.
I don't think so.
Up my nose.
Anything, but yeah, the eye sucks. The eye always sucks, especially when you have eyelashes on. Can't lie.
Yeah.
Not my favorite. Anyways, so this week we are diving into a brand new topic. This month's topic is going to be, drumroll please.
Ring. I don't know what that was. it was like a telephone. Yeah. Oops.
That was a telephone that you like pull. That was one of the rotary phones. yes. No. What are we talking about this month? Oh, online sex work.
Yeah, but we're going to do it justice, right? Like due diligence, much like we did our fetishism like series over 7 months.
hopefully this one will only take a month. But yeah, we're going to dive into the topic fully fully for us. And we're going to be as thorough as possible, starting with things that, you know, we think we may know about online sex work. Mm-hmm. And we're going to dive in and see what we don't actually know, see what some preconceived notions are, and then maybe have a special guest at the end that wants to talk to us about their life in online or whatever. They might be, maybe they're a customer. I don't fucking know. We don't know yet.
Oh, right? Yeah, we don't. We're still exploring those options, but I'm sure it'll be something good. No doubt.
We could get like a many vids connoisseur or something. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Well, if you listen to this and want to talk about online sex work one way or the other, hit us up.
Yes, do that. So, I will first ask you, I don't know what you want to admit to.
Ooh.
On this podcast, but have you ever done any online sex work yourself? I know it's because of the availability of websites now, it is a little bit easier to do it than say maybe 5-10 years ago.
Okay, so this is a good question. So what, in your humble opinion, and maybe we can like actually find out the like defined Urban Dictionary version of what online sex work constitutes?
Well, see, there's that it gets a little gray when it comes to online, because I feel like a lot of what I would consider sex workers are not necessarily considering themselves sex workers, right?
Okay.
A lot of the time they're giving themselves other words for it. I'm an adult model, I'm an OnlyFans girl, I'm a whatever, whatever. And as much as I say that's all valid, you can give yourself whatever title that you want. In my opinion, you're doing online sex work. So online sex work is an exchange of goods for some type of monetary value, whether it's tokens or money. And the goods are an electronic version of a sexual
experience
thing. So whether it's a photo, an experience like sexting, a video, it doesn't have to be completely nude there. Obviously, that's something that I think a lot of people think that there's like a line, and it's like, okay, well, if you're showing your roast beef majora, then you're definitely fucking a sex worker. But if you're only showing a little slit in your panty, it's like, no, to me, the idea is somebody on the other side of that is excited for that. Okay. In a sexualized manner. I don't care if it's just bikini photos. They're excited for it. What they do with it is none of our business. Sure, we don't have to necessarily get into that, but the idea is you're selling some kind of sexual
manner. You're using your body in a sexual manner digitally, or would you consider like phone sex stuff like also online sex work?
Well, yeah, if you're using an online, yeah, it's under the same category, digital sex work, you know, however you really want to call it. But
it sounds very modern, digital sex work.
Digital sex work, yeah, get into it.
DSW. But it's
I mean, how many people are actually answering a phone call? You know, a lot of these are through apps, and you can do that through your computer. So, yeah, it's all digital. Right. It's all sex work where you are not having a direct contact situation with somebody. So they are consuming whatever it is that you're selling that has some sort of sex or sexuality tied in, again, whether it's veiled or not, and you are not directly seeing them face to face. That's my opinion. That's my sort of definition. Okay. I mean, I'm sure I could tweak that a little bit, but off the top of my head, that's what.
Okay, I like it. I think I'm pretty much in alignment with you on that.
So like, if you sell feet photos, like maybe the person next to you doesn't find that overtly sexual, but the person to your left does, and that person is going to beat off to it. Okay, well, it's subjective, right? Your foot photos might not be porn to you, but they're porn to somebody else. So you're selling it in a way where it's being consumed, and you're not necessarily even sure how it's being consumed.
Do you find that some people find resistance to this, like they do this kind of work and wouldn't call themselves an online sex worker? They would call themselves something else?
Yeah, of course. There's taboo against being a sex worker, calling yourself a sex worker, embracing being a sex worker. It also puts you in a category of, is there, you know, am I doing this legally? A lot of people are like, I'm not a sex worker because it's legal. I'm like, what the fuck? There's plenty of sex work that's legal, that's illegal in some states, it's legal, you know, they're like, that's a weird way to do it, you know?
I was trying to explain to this, like, fancy financial advisor for NQO, like, who owns NQO, because, you know, we're a cooperative and all that shit, and, like, was explaining, like, I think I said at first, like, it's owned by sex workers, and I was just like, that may make him misunderstand what the nature of our products are.
sure, yeah. I mean, and it can be very limiting to people that are hearing the word, too. They're immediately thinking all sorts of fucking things.
We need to change that. I mean, like, as soon as we saw, what was it? Like, Saturday Night Live, like, did a spoof, like, a couple years ago, and all of a sudden, like, the whole idea of many vids, like, and, like, the, like, they didn't call it many vids, but it was, like, whatever. They were now making their money off of, like, doing this kind of, like, line of work. And I would hope that we are getting, you know, every other fucker that I meet has an OnlyFans page these days.
Like, right. And for the record, OnlyFans isn't just pornography.
Right.
There's so many OnlyFans accounts that are cooking and playing music and like alluding to like nudity or just, here's bikini shots that I don't necessarily want to put online because I don't want my grandma to run into it, but I'll put them behind a paywall. You know, there's so many different levels. And I know like many vids, for example, is pornography, right? I mean, there's not many channels that aren't pornography on many vids, but.
Right. Nobody's reading Shakespeare on there. Oh, well, maybe they are just naked.
Yeah, they probably are. Many vids has a lot of fetish stuff, actually. It's interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think now more than ever, people understand what it is, but they also understand that there's like levels to it and layers to it. And I think people don't want to get cast out of their families. So until the word sex work is destigmatized, people are still going to be shy about saying, yes, I'm a sex worker, right? Like when we go to hand in a resume at a corporate office, we're not necessarily thrilled to put on it sex worker for 7 years, right? Like, sure. If I were to go apply to a place that, you know, I'd be a W-2 employee right now, I would probably put strategic marketing something administration or something, you know, I would.
Hell yeah.
And then, you know, depending on if I'm getting a good vibe, I'd probably admit to it. But it's just because I'm proud of it. But you also understand that it comes with stigma that unfortunately is still out there, no matter how chill it is now. And no matter how many people, you know, that have a fucking OnlyFans, there's still so much stigma, especially when you do like the hardcore stuff. Most people are like, well, I draw the line at, you know, so, if you do this versus this. It's like, ugh.
So do you think that, like, I mean, I would imagine one of the challenges, you know, especially with a market that must be getting a little saturated these days, like, would be how do you distinguish yourself? Like, do you find that people just kind of copy, like, kinks and fetishes, or do you see a lot of, like, originality out there? How would you like have that conversation about distinguishing yourself with a young, new, not necessarily young?
Oh, so we're just jumping into me giving advice instead of us talking about what we think we know.
Well, okay.
I guess my advice is what I think I know. Actually, let's say that. That's
okay.
True.
Well, hold on. So then,
that's accurate.
Okay. I would just say, like, I would think that I would guess, and like I don't know, is that, you know, the people who are willing to, like, be involved in more fetishy, off the beaten paths, while they may not have, like, a huge market, they might have, like, a very dedicated, like, feel.
Yes. Yeah. So that, I mean, there's both sides. There's a couple ways to play the game, if you will. You can either get a really niche market going where you have maybe 100 consistent customers, but those 100 are paying out of the ass because you're doing something for them and doing it in a way that they are looking for and they haven't found clearly. So there's something that they're missing from another sex worker or something, and they've found you, you're fulfilling their needs, you have the look, you have the style, you'll do the thing, boom. You're gonna get really consistent work out of those specific, or, you know, you're going to get a lot of requests out of those customers. And then there are people that are on the other side of it that are doing the numbers game. And what I mean by that is they're not worried about client retention necessarily. They are looking to get as many followers, as many subscriptions as possible, as quickly as possible. And they're churning it out. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times I'll see people with a pretty cheap, whatever you want to say is cheap nowadays, it's hard to really tell what cheap is, but let's say on the cheaper end, meaning like you can only have an OnlyFans for the cheapest of like $3.99 or $3 or something like that. So like I'm saying closer to that, you'll see a lot of people have a very cheap OnlyFans account. And they'll say no pay-per-view, which means they're not going to be messaging you with, hey, I just recorded a video if you want to buy it. Or, hey, I recorded a video 2 years ago. Here's my video from 2 years ago. It's $3 for you, whatever. Instead, what it means is you're going to go to their page. You're going to see all of their content. But what that also does is it leaves you not having that same experience of, oh, this sex worker is reaching out to me on a regular basis. So it's kind of a hands-off approach. That's the number system.
Less personal touch.
Less personalized and more just churning it out, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody that signs up gets a free dick pic, but also that's about it. That's about as much interaction as you're going to get from me over the course of time, because I have thousands of subscribers versus those niche fetish market people. Now, there's some people that do both. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying one is wrong and one is right. I think it really does play into what you found to be successful for yourself. Right. So I don't have that look that can get 2,000 subscribers off the bat. That's never going to happen for me. And what I mean by that is I have a very specific shape to me. I'm mid-size on the BBW scale now, closer to BBW than I've been mid-size before. And I'm not ticking physically the boxes that a lot of people are looking for. I have boobs, but then where's the ass? I don't have the ass to match the boobs. it's just, it's a specific look that I have, and it's not, it doesn't really fulfill any over the top fetish if you just look at me, for example. Okay. So I'm never going to have 1,000 followers, right? That's never ever going to be a thing for me. Instead, I focus on the fetishes and the niche market where I'm really good at these things. And once people realize it, that are looking for that, they stay with me forever, for fucking ever. I have people that love the way that I know how to act in my custom videos, for example, and they buy a custom for me every fucking time I record. For the rest of my goddamn life, they will buy a custom from me every time. And those are not cheap, mind you. You know, I have some customers that are like, your jerk off instructions are the fucking best. They will buy every JOI video I've ever dropped. I have other customers that come to me because I do mommy stuff, or I do sister brother stuff. I do a lot of family taboo stuff. So once you find that lane, I feel like you should really stick with that lane. But there are those, you can call them models, you can call them sex workers, whatever. But there are those workers out there that have thousands of followers, and they will never need to have a niche because they have that look that appeals to more people than not, if you will. And right. I don't want to say just a look. There are plenty of people that have more of a niche look that are in that category too, of having thousands of followers. But again, I find that they don't have the time often to give you that one-on-one attention, you know?
Yeah. So what do you think are the, what do we think are the biggest benefits to like online sex work?
Well, the first one I'll say right off the top is, if you have any disability, mm-hmm. right there alone, you are so much more capable of controlling your narrative by having the ability to be your own boss, motivate yourself, work yourself on your own timeline and schedule, mm-hmm. and have the customers, you know, have good relationships with customers where they're understanding of any of your needs and timelines and things like that. And I feel like it opens up a market of work to a group of people that may not have been able to show up and do a customer service job in person. Because essentially at the end of the day, it's customer service. We all know that. It's selling a good and service. What is the good in service? It's us, it's our time, it's our bodies, it's our looks, it's our ass, it's our titties, it's our dicks, it's our whatever, you know? Sure. But I feel like the one huge benefit is it creates a place for disabled bodies to have more autonomy and more, control over their workday in general.
Okay. And
so that's one benefit, obviously. There's more benefits. Like, I'll say this, just, you know, in general, being able to work for yourself is an amazing, beautiful fucking opportunity. And I think everybody should try to experience that at least one time in their life, because it teaches you a lot about, you know, self-preservation. It teaches you a lot about timelines and schedules and motivation and keeping yourself in check and making sure that you're doing it and you're not. And also, it's great for if you don't like answering to other fucking people, let's be honest, you know?
Right. So, I mean, I guess I want to find out what in general, and I know somebody has this on there, is what like overall people think like the number one perk of doing online sex work is. So for the next episode, I'm going to find that out, like find some like information, if you will.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like there's so many fucking perks, but also, you know, just being able to, I don't know, it's like, I could go on for fucking days how many benefits there really truly is to being an online sex worker. Well, but
I mean, I would honestly guess working for yourself it's gotta be one of the number one, even like outside of like the nature of the work, I would still think that people who were doing it would say that working for themselves, being their own person, was the number one benefit.
Absolutely. And then I feel like the amount of online sex work available definitely gives more options to people that maybe were doing previously, you know, in-person sex work, you know? So there are people that have to do in-person sex work. And then there are people that do in-person sex work as an additional piece of their work. And I feel like if you could take some of that and put it into online, it's just a safer option, typically, you know, just in terms of just generalization here, no judgment or anything, but it is just typically a safer option doing it behind the screen.
And,
you know?
And obviously that's not for anyone to assume that because a person is doing this work that they're available to like see you offline or that's even an address. You know, and I do feel like I would imagine you probably answered this, that people do get asked often if they like meet in person, especially if the person happens to be some or thinks that they are geographically like close to you.
Yeah, I get asked to meet in person pretty often, or I get asked, do you have a sex worker friend that will meet me in person? Which is fine. If I do, I typically send them their way and do that whole thing. But but I will say I don't even know where people go. Like, I often don't know what to say when people ask me. That's something I need to learn is after the SESTA FOSTA laws, you know, and people Backpage got taken down. Craigslist is not a thing. It's just, I don't know where sex workers have gone aside from Twitter. Like Red Twitter Boy. Is... Yeah, I mean, okay, sure, right. I'm talking about...
No, like, I mean, I think that went away, too. That was one of the big takedowns, too. You
see,
know,
that's,
so you,
I didn't even realize, like, there's everything got fucking taken down.
Yeah. I mean, I think those things happen, like, around the same time, you know, for a lot of these things, and they just kept happening.
Yeah, you know, and now it's interesting because it's like I see people advertise on Twitter, and that's cool. I think that's a great place. Because, I mean, nothing is more, I don't want to say more, but, like, it's pretty helpful to have, like, profiles that you can scroll through the tweets of and see what kind of person you're dealing with and all that. It's a little bit of a vetting mechanism, if you will. So that's nice. Right. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is typically. Yeah. Where do I go for a sex worker? I'm like, I usually just search it on Twitter, like meetups. I search the word meetups.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, so I guess that would be... another question. How do you think people choose where to go for their like amateur online sex worker like stuff? Do you
if I knew that, I'd be way more successful. I don't know. I honestly enlist the help of one of my friends who's actually a consumer of a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like when I stopped, when I decided I wanted to be more successful than I was, I let him help me with some stuff. And I was just like, what do I do to like grow this market, et cetera, et cetera. And he has helped, but I will say it's sometimes fucking tough. Like when people are just starting out and they're like, what do I do? I'm like, I don't know, get a Twitter and follow a bunch of fucking sex workers and retweet them and they'll retweet you. I don't know. You know, it's tough because I had a little bit of a following when I announced I was doing sex work, right? So like my little wrestling following had a little bit of a trickle over, and then from there that grew. So like, I don't know what the first steps are for like, how do people find sex workers? I don't know.
Twitter is the only
answer I have, aside from like many vids perusing, you know, categories. Yeah.
So I'm curious, at least to find out, like, you know, maybe we can find this information out. How do people find what they find for online sex workers? Is this a Google search? Is it like, you know, like how are people seeking this out? You know, like, I mean, OnlyFans is obvious, but what if you've never heard of any of these things? And like,
well, the thing is you can't even search people on OnlyFans. You have to know your handle. On many vids, I could go in and search boob bouncing and I'll find myself, for example. but you can't do that on OnlyFans. It's all of it's behind a paywall unless you have a free page. And even still, that's not a searchable thing. So it's
your Twitter is, right? Twitter is searchable, right?
Yes.
So I say Twitter
and TikTok for now is what I see. Instagram is really tough with sex work. Twitter is much more friendly. TikTok is hard, but if you're smart and you allude to things properly, you can get away with a little bit of advertising and stuff. Like if you go under like the hashtag spicy accountant, for example, that's all sex workers.
That makes sense. So I guess with that said, I'm also curious what people think their least favorite part of online sex work is.
Well, the customers is my answer. Obviously. Yeah. There's, I think, I'm sure the answer differs amongst most people, but I would say, I mean, it's, I'm sure a lot of people will say things like family judgment or friend judgment, like loss of people in life.
Getting found out.
Yeah, like getting doxxed or getting found out to your family, things like that, which I didn't have to worry about, obviously, but some people do. And, but I would say for myself, the customers that most customers for me are pretty chill. They're pretty dope. I actually make friends with a lot of them, that, you know, whatever. And there are some customers that for some reason think that because they've paid you a whopping $3.99 for the month or something, they that you are there to listen to, what am I looking for words? They think that you are kind of just a robot, like battering ram, and they can shit all over you and like take out their anger on you and say things like, I don't, you know, the dick that you fucked in that video is not hot, so I'm unsubscribing. Like, as if that, like, as if I can control what someone else's dick looks like. You know, I've heard that in the past. Right. Like, weird shit. Like, just weird stuff. And it's like, the judgment that they think that they can give to you because you're just a fucking, you're just a sex worker, you're a slime ball. You know, it's like, I had a customer once that basically like fell in love. Fine, it happens. I get it. You're a human being. And as soon as I was like, bro, like, you know, that's not a thing that we're doing here. You know, I was very kind about it. And he was just extremely cruel to me after. Like, so fucking cruel, so rotten, said some very judgmental shit to me. Things I did not need to hear and things that I didn't deserve to fucking hear, all because I had to let him down and remind him that this is a paid service, you know?
Right.
And it's that, I think that is the scarier, that's the scary slash shittier part, is like people that either fall in love or even become fucking stalkers. That's a huge piece of this. We, you know, just because I've had decent experiences with my clientele doesn't mean that it's not out there and that there's not plenty of people going through that. So
I mean, I guess I'm
that is probably the number one terrible thing, but I don't know if that's like top reason, you know.
I guess somewhere in there, like, you know, it's a testament to how well, you know, no, I was gonna say how well you do your job for having them like lose sense of reality. But let's be real, there are just people who definitely don't know where that line is and forget like what the arrangement is, you know.
And right. And there are some customers that'll say that. They'll be like, "Damn, Felicia, you're good at your job, because sometimes I don't know if you're flirting with me and complimenting me." And, you know, listen, just because I'm complimenting you doesn't mean that's fake. But are we in fantasy land? And am I saying things that this isn't real life, honey, you know?
Right,
and most of the time they get that and they'll be like, "But damn, you really, like, you help me suspend disbelief." And that's the point, right? I'm trying to make you get out of your brain of the day and come. Woman, man, non-binary, I don't give a fuck who you are. If you're watching my content, I have a ton of women that watch my content. If you're watching my content, I just want you to suspend your disbelief for 5 goddamn minutes and come. Afterwards, I owe you nothing. I am not in debt to you. You've done the minimal to be a part of my existence at this point. You've paid a minimal amount, you know. And I'm not saying that you're not valuable. I'm just saying that, like, there's nothing here, honey. Like, it's just a job, and I love you so much, and I want you to be happy, and you can talk to me about your bad day, and you can show me your cum load, but you're not actually my son. You know, I'm not actually your mommy. You know, I have to remind people sometimes. I'm like, I know I've also given you instructions on like how to clean your floor properly, but that does not make me your actual mother, you know.
I'm wondering, like, given, you know, given that any kind of customer, but especially in this realm, like, you know, because I think people already are working outside the parameters of, like, the social norms that, you know, don't let you, like, you know, fucking talk like that to a cashier at the supermarket, but, like, they'll feel okay to talk to an online sex worker that way. Right. Given, like, that kind of, like, intensity and, like, you know, and kind of, like, you know, what I would assume to be the kind of uncertain amount of, like, money one can make. But that goes with, like, all kinds of sex work, you know. And, like, maybe you have a few regulars, but there's a lot of unreliable income involved. But given both of those kind of things, I wonder how long on average people are doing this these days. You know, obviously this is still a relatively new arena for sex workers. I mean, there's been phone sex workers, sure, but I've, you know, even heard that there's a, you know, can be burnout with that, you know, doing that kind of work back in the day. I think what the Spike Lee did a movie, Girl 6 or something, that was all about, like, a sex phone sex worker that got all junked up on, you know, like, doing it. She forgot where the line was a little bit herself and got lost in the whole kind of, you know, culture of it, if you will. So I'm wondering, like, if they're starting to, like, see, like, you know, burnout rates, or if people are sharing, like, the amount of time that they think they can do it, they plan on doing it, and how long they end up doing it.
Well, I find that a lot of porn stars that, you know, started in studio, like, won awards, you know, porn stars, if you will.
Sure.
You know, like, from 2002 to, like, 2016, a lot of them have retired from doing, you know, in-studio porn, and now they're just running, like, OnlyFans and ManyBits and making their money from their old residuals and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be, you know, quite interesting to see, like, you know, people be able to take back the narrative, because I know the porn industry has been toxic for so long, right? Especially when we're talking about, you know, especially, like, hardcore porn and in studio stuff and, you know, what have you. But I think it's so cool to see that there's, like, this other option for people that still want and enjoy showing off and making people fucking feel good. They have this new platform, which is really cool. But as far as people that maybe just started in online sex work and then that's where they're doing their job, I don't know. I've seen a lot of people stop after a year or two. I've seen people stop after they realize, like, the taxes suck. It's like, really, you know, being 1099 fucking blows. I've seen people burn out just because of, like, the customers, and it's hard to show your body constantly, and then your body goes through fluctuations and it's like back. I've seen people, you know, have a baby and pop right back on 2 weeks after. You know, I don't know if there's an answer to, like, how long it takes to burn out from it. I'll say this. If it wasn't for me opening an OnlyFans last year and getting a new swath of business and growing my numbers to a livable wage, like, I'm talking, I spent 6 or 5.5 years really not doing as wonderful as I should have been, you know, because I had people that, you know, I had people, tons of people living with me, and I couldn't record on a regular basis. Right. I had no equipment, so I was limited for space in my phone. I was nervous about showing off XYZ on my body, all of this different shit, you know? And it's funny that just now, 7 years into this job, I just released my first BBW photo set fully nude. And like, before now, I wasn't that size, but I still didn't even release a fully nude fucking photo set, you know? And it's so interesting that now, at the biggest I've been while doing porn, I'm actually probably the most comfortable. And it's, I don't know if it's because it took me 7 fucking years to get here. And eventually you're just like, no, my fans want to see me. And here's the thing. I sold that photo set for a lot of money because I didn't want just the average person to be like, I want to see Felicia fat. And like, buy it. I didn't want it to feel like people could, like, use it against me, because I'm still, unfortunately, I still have tons of internalized fat phobia and dysmorphia and all that shit. So as I'm trying to work through that, I'm like, what's the best way for me to like show my new body, make some money? I charged $50 for fucking 20 photos. And the people that truly like a BBW body fucking bought the goddamn thing, because they're my customers and they like that body type. Whereas a lot of my other customers maybe don't like that body type, but they know I strategically hide those flaws in my videos. Not that I can fully anymore, but I do a good job of making sure that you're not seeing all of my BBW-ness, if you will. And it's interesting, you know, it's an interesting journey. I don't know if I would probably burnt out already if I didn't get to change things up. Now I have at least 4 days a week typically that I can film. I have better equipment. I have better, you know, even just my phone is a fucking great video recorder. You know, I have, you know, more ideas. I feel like I come up with fucking amazing ideas on the fly. I feel like the day I can't think of a really good porno fucking idea, that's the day I retire. So yeah, that's a great question. I don't know when the burnout rate is. I'm not burnt out yet, but I know that if it wasn't for last year and changing shit up a bit, I would be done with this by now for sure.
Well, we'll definitely have to find that out. So I know we have to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to talk about a few more things. So cut to promos.
Stay tuned for a word from NQO.
Greetings, Goofy. I'm Camryn Aline Maharet Jarrell, aka Transnito, BKA Tranos. Say it with your whole chest, or I'll seduce your dad and biopeg him at the family get together. Try me. I'm the host of Tranos and the Lived Experience, a podcast about current events, comedy, and calamity. Everywhere podcasts can be streamed, Tranos and the Lived Experience, the show that force feeds you clam strips in a White Castle parking lot.
And we're back. Thanks for tuning in and staying tuned and
and tuning out.
I'm sorry that this became kind of an interview. That's not.
No. But
I keep being like crying, and you know.
But this is good because it is in the what we think we know category, and you know, every online sex worker is different and has like different ideas about this stuff. And you know, I think that's like, you know, it takes the good. Next thing I wanted to talk about is like, what do we think the biggest misconceptions about doing online sex work are?
That our family doesn't love us. that we don't love ourselves. That we have daddy issues. First of all, everybody has fucking family parental issues. Shut the fuck up. I don't care if you have mommy issues, daddy issues, parents weren't around issues. It doesn't fucking matter. Everybody has those because that's where we get our trauma and our fucking issues from. Duh. Okay, moving on. I think a lot of people have the misconception that this is all we can do or we're too lazy to do anything else. Bullshit. Yeah. Nonsense. Fuck that. Suck a dick. I hate that. First of all, it's none of your fucking business why I do the job I do. I don't ask you, why do you sweep up the floor for a living? Why do you drive a fucking a little yellow thingy that goes beep beep when you back up in your fucking warehouse? I don't give a shit why you drive a forklift, bro. It's not my business. How you got to your job? We're not dating. Don't fucking ask me, you know? I just feel like people, again, like you said, people feel like it's like fucking open season. Somebody's a sex worker, they do a job that's different. Let me ask them invasive goddamn questions, right? So how we got here is a big one. Right. The fact that we can't do anything else, or that we're unworthy of anything else, or that we have a low self-worth, or we're undateable. Those are all very common ones. You know, who would date you? I don't know, somebody that wants to watch me suck my tits on camera and you know, whether they're in it or not is not even the point. Like somebody that's cool with fucking hearing their fucking partner orgasm really loud on the other side of the wall, like
I think that a lot of people think that there's desperation, and while there is sometimes, certainly from a financial standpoint for many people, that like that's That's sure, a really all, per, all personal sales. Assumption.
Yeah, that all salespeople have desperation. If you are on a paycheck that is, OnlyFans is not paying us a fucking salary. We're not getting fucking $40K a year on, and then everything else is a, but we're paying OnlyFans to host our shit, essentially. They're taking a cut of our crap. So we're just making the sales that we make that fucking day. And while I know that we're going to interview some people at some point that are absolutely going to be like, yeah, I make 6K figures doing my online sex work, that's not everybody, and that is certainly not the norm. It is not. Listen, I'm in the top always 5% or higher on OnlyFans, and I'm telling you, I am not making six fucking figures. Top 5% on OnlyFans, always.
Fuck yeah.
I've been in under the top 2% on OnlyFans, and that was definitely not six figures a year. So think about what percentage of people are truly making those numbers, and also, don't fucking, if you're listening right now and you're potentially thinking about doing this shit, do not compare yourself.
So actually, that was going to lead me to the next question. On the other side of that, what do you think people new to online sex work, what do you think their biggest misconceptions are about doing the work?
That it's quick and easy. I mean, I know a lot of people will be like, no, I give you credit, I know that's hard. But like, until people do it, I don't think I get the same props until people actually do it. They truly, people do not understand how much actual fucking work goes in to my day. And again, I am not making, like, if I had a 9 to 5, if I just worked 9 to 5, I'd be fucked, you know, and right. Monday through Friday, I'd be fucked. So if you, and I know that a lot of people that own their own businesses and work for themselves work, they say 24 hours a day, and it's true. And it's no different for sex workers. And I know a lot of people, I know sex workers that tweet about bragging about, you know, I get to choose my own schedule and take days off and all that. That's nice. I don't. And you know what? You're more successful than me and I don't care. That's okay. I still have to grind. I'm happy for those people. But I also hear a lot of sex workers like myself that don't have the ability to take a day off because they get fucked when they do. So, you know, it's not an easy job. It's very tough. It's demanding. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the first day you get somebody saying something wrong to you, it hurts your fucking feelings, you know, and the second day and the third day, you know, it's grueling, and it's a sales and customer service job. And the sale, or I should say the product, is your body. And the consumer is the customer, and you're giving them a service, and that's tough. Because when you go to your job every day and you're selling, you know, paper clips, and somebody calls and complains about their fucking paper clips, you don't take it home and take it personal.
Somebody I like that fucking, analogy.
When somebody comes and says, I wanted to see you get porked on this OnlyFans. Why did I pay $12.99? It's not worth it. Fuck you, bitch. That you take home typically, and it's a little bit more personal. So there's a lot of layers to why it's not easy. But the number one misconception is, oh, I can just take feet pics and post them. Mm. Post them where, honey? Who's buying them?
Right.
You need to do more than that. Even if you just want to make like a many vids for just a feet, you still have to upload videos. Like, this is not equal. It's very rare to be like, I can just post foot pics and make money. Sure, there are some rare cases, but those are the ones that you hear about because it is so fucking rare, you know?
So, okay. So I'm thinking of a couple more things. One, do you think that there overall is a lot of camaraderie among online sex workers, or do you think it's very competitive?
Both. I've seen a lot of camaraderie within my own little bubble of people I've met. And then I've also heard people say that these same people talk shit about me behind my back. I've also seen a lot of people complain about other sex workers on Twitter and spaces like that. I try to just, if I know you, or if I have a connection through other people to you, I'll retweet your stuff, I'll promote you, etc. If you do the same for me, cool. If not, it's not a big deal. But I personally stopped trying to be a part of that little online sphere myself because I found it was a little toxic. So I was you know, I was, it doesn't take very long for me to back away from stuff now. I'm 30 fucking four, you know, if I see any little shred of toxicity, I'm like, okay, I can't do this. Bye. So, you know, I still stay, I'll follow that. Like a new worker here and there if they follow me, or if I find one that, like, you know, it on my timeline or whatever, but like, it's, I kind of stay away from a little piece of that just cause it's, I don't know. It could be both. It could be very competitive, but also very helpful. So,
what do you think the biggest advice from sex workers to new sex workers would be? It can be safety. It could be anything. Like,
Safety is probably the priority. Make sure that you're using a website that you find, you know, reputable. You're putting watermarks on things.
Protect your content.
Keeping your content safe. Yeah, because if you need to do a DMCA takedown, it's a lot easier if there's a fucking watermark on it, right? Okay. There's all sorts of things that make it easier if you just do it. I don't necessarily do all of that because I'm an asshole and I can't be bothered. But I know the consequences of that, right? Like, right. I know that if I don't watermark every photo, oops, you know. Keep yourself safe. Maybe reach out to an elder online sex worker to just kind of ask them some questions. I think it's always nice to have somebody take you under their wing and like kind of guide you, make sure that you're not doing anything that they wouldn't do. Make sure that you're not giving out your information. It's like, if you're gonna mail somebody panties in the mail, make sure it's from a PO box, or you scratch out your address, you know, things like that. Like, keep yourself safe. Keep yourself, you know, don't scratch out your address. Just get a fucking PO box. That's bad advice. That's the shit that I would do years ago. That, like, don't do
that. That'd be like your half-ass version.
Yeah, exactly. Like, can't be bothered version. Don't do what I do, basically. But yeah, and I would say that make sure that you either pay your taxes like every couple months ahead of time, or save your money so that you can pay your taxes because you're now a 1099 worker.
So what do you think the one thing that every consumer of online sex work material, if you will, or sex workers' talents, what is the one thing every single customer could do better when they're consuming sex work online?
Tip more.
You heard it, folks. Tip.
I think a general rule should be, if you enter a live stream, you should immediately tip, period. I don't care if you stay for 2 fucking minutes. You just entered a live stream where somebody is letting you into their personal world live. No editing, no censoring. You're there with them in that fucking moment. Tip them. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a live and the tips did not come in, and I'm sitting there sweating bullets because I have my AC off and I'm coming on camera. And yeah, I'm not necessarily doing it for tips, sure. However, when there's 9 people in my chat or 22 people in my chat, send me a fucking tip, bitch. I can't stress it enough. And when you tip, you get A, remembered, and B, taken care of. Those are so important. If you want somebody to remember your name, you want somebody to prioritize you, you want somebody to check in, you want freebies once in a while. I'm not saying everybody does that, but if you are good to me, oh, honey, I am fucking good to you. Believe that. So if you're regularly giving me little tips here and there, you're going to get the free video in a few weeks. You're going to get, you know, you're going to get little random, here's a happy birthday video, little random freebies. I'm not saying it's going to happen all the time, but tips go a long fucking way, because it's your way of saying, I not only appreciate that I'm here for a small price, I think you're worthy of more than that small price. That's very nice.
And I wonder because... So, and this is something for a deeper dive, but I was wondering like what the pay disparity is amongst like different groups of online sex workers. Like,
I I don't know that answer. That's a good question for a deeper dive. I know there is one, but I don't know what that actual answer is.
Because I feel like I heard many years ago, at least as far as like porn, gay porn stars made less on average than like female heterosexual porn stars.
Right.
I don't know if that's true, but it would be one of the few spaces where men got paid less than women.
Right. I wonder if there is, I'm not sure. I'm sure that number the gap has probably closed a bit is my assumption, because I don't know. I don't want to make assumptions, but
I'm going to find out. Cause I'm curious if the, like the boy or cisgender male online OnlyFans workers are putting like making less or more and vice versa. Like what the average like subscription is. I know that you know they have all this data. I'm sure we'll be able to find it.
Absolutely. I'm very interested to know it myself.
Yeah, so. I'm kind of curious. When we've like, you know, we talk about this stuff about like what we know, what we think we know, and like a lot of it is based on, especially this topic, is stuff we actually do know because we've like participated on some level over the years or are currently participating. And I was trying to think in my head, I'm like, oh, we should like each share like an online sex worker story of some sort. Maybe just one, instead of it like being categorized, one that stands out in your head from over the years as being the most memorable, either good, bad, neutral, but most memorable.
Ooh, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I guess I'll go first. So, like, you know, I definitely was one of those people that thought it was going to be a lot easier than it was. I still, like, I think it's also about frame of reference, what you have more experience doing. And, you know, some people have more experience in the streets than behind the screen.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, like, but, like, I do think a lot of, like, you know, a lot of... there are a lot of similarities in that, like, there's a lot of communication, you know, oftentimes, especially when people are requesting personalized content.
Right.
And, like, I think that's what stands out the most. Like, I've had, you know, in flirts, like, people like, oh, hey, will you make me a video of you, like, jerking off or whatever. But, like, when somebody is, like, already purchased some of your online content and then wants you to do something, they do come at it from, like, such a different angle than one's used to, because it sounds like, it does sound like commands, which I'm okay with, like, you know, personally, like, I can ignore all that as long as you're hitting, like, the, like, pay button, we're cool, like, you know, like, I've got a good filter, like, I'm not gonna get affected in that category. If you're somebody I'm flirting with and you talk to me like that,
right,
you're gonna fuck.
So you're
right
saying, like,
off.
How it sounds like they're ordering from, like, a menu. So.
Yeah, and I think my funniest experiences are, like, it's it's so directive, and obviously the punctuation's always, like, really, really terrible, but it's, like, do video of shirt behind head, one testicle out, you know, like, these ultra, ultra specific things, and, like, all I could, and like, I've had very similar, and I guess that's my overall memorable, is these very instructive, and they're all very similar, but they're also so specific. They are so specific, and I've, like, tried to imagine in my head what exactly, you know, how is this hot for them, me doing this very specific thing? But, you know, like, you know, you just, there's not a lot of, I think that is the thing that's different about online sex work from just online dating and online flirting and online whatevering, is that, like, you know, you don't necessarily have that conversation of, well, what made you think of that? And why are you doing that? Or what about me made you think? I mean, I get, like, the long hair thing gets, like, a lot of requests, like, you know, dirty hippie, I want you to smell your pit and, like, act like it's, like, super ripe, which it is, so it's not a good stretch. But yeah, that's my most memorable. These very, like, I mean, and, like, if you're gonna, like, tell me to do things, like, put it in order. Like, one,
take off your... Oh, my God.
It was just kind of, like, these things with mixed, like... dot dot dots followed by a comma.
No. So we don't do the paragraph custom requests, honey. Oh, if I have to fish for the information, we're not doing that. So what? I give you one chance to tell me everything, right? I'll say, what do you want in your custom? If you don't, if you come back with some nonsense in a paragraph that is all fucked. No. So this is what I have. If you want to look at the screen, you probably can't see, but. Number one, length of custom. Number two, plot. If you don't have an idea for one, I can come up with one myself. Number three, what point of view are you watching from? Example, am I simulating that you were there with me? Am I wishing you were there? Am I pretending to send you a video in response to something, etc.? Number four, angles you're looking for. What acts would you like me to do? Example, masturbate while telling a story from riding position, showing only waist up. Like, I get it specific for them. My attitude. Am I nice? Am I mean? Dominant? Submissive? You choose how I speak to you. Name to call you. What to wear? Persona. Any other specifics you'd like me to include? That is my list. That is my list of how to create a custom for somebody. And people put really specific shit in there. And that's why I have that list now. Because everybody's always like, okay, I want it from... your toe to your ankle. I want your leg to shake off of the bed. Two taps. And then I want you to say, hallelujah. You know, it's like the most specific shit in the world. So I just now have my own directive of exactly how I want you to answer all my, I need to know this shit questions. And it ends up coming out great. I feel like my customs are my favorite shit to do because people give me, sometimes they're just like, just do, be submissive. I'm like, ugh, okay. I'm creative enough to come up with something. But it is very nice to have this little template filled out because then it's like, all right, no, I can't go wrong there, you know?
So then what's your most memorable custom?
Ooh, that's fun. I actually have somebody that I have done a series of customs for, and it's actually like an ongoing series. And it's like multi-parts where I think we're up to part 12 or so. It's an ongoing story and I really like it because it allows me. So I don't know if you know this, but I dabble in the literatica. So I really like to write out stuff. And then in turn, my brain also does the like fantasy on the go really easily. So it's fun to like watch the story kind of unfold over time. And pieces, and it transform into this big thing where it actually it doesn't feel real, but it feels like I'm writing a chapter book for this person. Only I'm doing it in video form. It's very interesting. That's my favorite. That's my most memorable. I have a couple people that come back, but like, yeah, I find that one is fun because it reminds me of a storybook. You know.
See, I really like the way that sounds and like the form of custom video. Like sometimes people do that in like the. Like the Nifty archive and stuff.
Right.
Like they write like this like 25 page series, like, which is too much. Right. If your series is more than five chapters, I'm probably like I'm not even gonna hit the fucking hyperlink. But did you know Nifty has been around since 1993?
I'm not surprised. I feel like literaticas.com's been around since like 97 or something.
And how did everybody find out? You know, like, I want to know how everybody came across these. Like, was it just word of mouth? There is one poor schlub behind that computer who's been like archiving your homemade lit erotica stories since 1993.
I wonder if there was like a magazine for like a smut, like smutty stories, you know, like romance novels,
that listed
romance
it?
Novel magazine that listed it, or you know, there had to be something like, oh, you know, all the romance novelists just like found, I don't fucking know, but that's so cool. That's really cool to know. But yeah, I like my multi-tiered stories. I think they're so fun to like build on and, you know, whatever. It's so weird, but like, it's fun. It's like because then I get invested in the fantasy too, and then my acting is better. Mm-hmm. When I do the one-offs, okay. I think I do a decent job. Everybody always says like, oh, this is fucking fantastic. But I think I do my best when I'm like, I have some kind of like character development.
Yeah, so no, character development is awesome. I'm a big fan of character development, especially in my sexuality. I think it's a nice way to ring. So I love all the homework we have to do about online sex work, even though we've both done it and, like, you know, but, like, who knows the facts and figures of these things? And plus, again, still kind of, like, pretty new. I mean, certainly, like, online porn and people started doing, like, uploading their amateur, like, you know, bathroom videos to fucking X videos and Pornhub, but, like, you know, this new event of, like, making people having platforms. Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting. It's kind of, like, you know, refreshing in some ways, but, like, you know, my issue is, like, I don't want to see the world become less sex positive because it's, like, all involved in just online sex now and nobody's actually fucking each other for real. But, you know, these are the dangers of post-pandemic and pandemic. It's not even post-pandemic yet, but, like, you know, the digital era and people, like, being at home.
I don't know. The amount of customers that ask to fuck me, I think people still want to fuck.
They still want to do it.
I don't necessarily think people know where to find people to fuck, whether they have to pay or not. So, you know, and that's all valid and fair. So.
Right. Tip your sex worker.
Tip your fucking sex worker.
Well, this was another fabulous edition of The Screw, and I do love talking to you. I'm sorry we're separated by so many miles, but we'll get to talk and do this again next week.
Yay! Thanks for tuning
anything
in.
Anything you got coming up that you want to pimp out?
Nope.
No?
Nope. All right. You can find me on OnlyFans, onlyfans.com/FeliciaRose or onlyfans.com/FeliciaRoseFree. The free page is not actually what you think it is. It's just me selling you videos for way higher than the price that you would get it if you were subscribed, even just for a month. So.
Oh, there's an interesting little backdoor you got there.
It's my way of advertising what I have. So. If you want it, you can buy it there, but you probably shouldn't. But some people do. You can also find me on ManyVids. It's Felicia-Rose.ManyVids.com.
Hell yeah. And as always, check out all the content on NewQueerOrder.com. Welcome Cardboard Time, a new affiliate to the New Queer Order family. And yeah, check us out. Send us money.
Yeah, do that. Thanks for tuning into The Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and A-Love. We're going to eat your asses. Okay, bye.
Bye. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.